one of my dearest friends, who has been my friend, I would say, close to 60 years. We became friends, we learned in Air Yisrael in Baltimore together, and we've been friends ever since. For the story, I will call him Shlomi. So a while ago, I asked Shlomi, when we both went to Air Yisrael, we were about 15 and a half, I was 14 and a half, we came the following year, Shlomi. So I asked Shlomi what he did the year before he came to Air Yisrael. So he tells me the following story. It's an unbelievable story. He went to a elementary school, to Yeshivish Elementary School in New York, in one of the boroughs. His father was a Rav. And the father decided that he wanted to send him to learn in Tells. Tells in Cleveland. So I brought him out there. He got his machina, he was accepted to the yeshiva. And he was set up in a dormitory room. And the father then drove back from Cleveland to New York. So Shlomi had a roommate there, a very peculiar fellow. We call him for the story, Zalman. Unbeknownst to Shlomi, Zalman was evidently quite jealous. His father came from a nice family, a Rabbanisha family. His father had that personal interest in him. And he was a pikeach, he was a mukshar, very qualified, bright fellow.
That afternoon, Shlomi was looking out the window from the dorm, and he sees outside a bunch of hooligans, a bunch of teenagers that look like gangsters. And Zalman was in the room with him, and he looks to Zalman and says, "What's going on?" He says, Zalman says, "Don't you know this was Tells at that point was in a very, very troublesome neighborhood. And it's very dangerous to go outside." So Shlomi says, "Well, what do we do about it?" Zalman says, "Listen, Friday morning, you know, after morning shir, we're free. I'll help you. Until that point, don't go out." So 2 days later, on Friday morning, Zalman takes Shlomi, and they go to an Army and Navy store, and Zalman tells Shlomi to buy himself a knife. A long 6-inch blade, almost like a dagger. And Zalman explains to Shlomi, he says, if when you walk out in the street and you're alone and these hooligans, these gangsters, teenagers, start accosting you, just pull out your knife and wield it and they'll run away and there's nothing for you to worry about. And that's what all the guys do. So Shlomi paid his few dollars, bought the knife in a sheath, and kept it in his pocket. On Sunday, Shlomi gets called into the Mashgiach's office. Comes to the Mashgiach's office, he sits down, facing the Mashgiach behind the desk, and the Mashgiach asks, "How are you doing? How's everything working?" He says, "This and that," and so on and so forth. He says, "Fine." And Shlomi turns, the Mashgiach turns to Shlomi, and he says, "Shlomi, I want you to empty out your pockets." So Shlomi takes his wallet out, his change, the keys to the dorm, his handkerchief. He says, "Do you have anything else in there?" So Shlomi pulls out his knife and shows it to the Mashgiach. Mashgiach turns white as a ghost. And especially, this is most probably Mashgiach that lived through Europe through the Shoah. "What is this?" And his nanny got all wild and sends him out of the office. And by the following morning, Monday morning, Shlomi was put on a bus and sent home. He was thrown out of the yeshiva. Basically, Zalman got rid of, took nekama on Shlomi by having him thrown out. And soon afterwards, the Shlomi's father and Shlomi drove down to Baltimore. And he got his bechina there, and he was accepted in Baltimore and lived happily ever after. Shlomi would tell me that every once in a while he would see the Zalman And the Salman has a terrible business reputation, being totally dishonest and so on and so forth. Last week, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Isaacson, sent out a brief question to his Talmidim on WhatsApp. He said a brief word, actually left a question. I left it as a question he asked. He says, the Zohar points out that Moshe and Korach were a reincarnation of Cain and Hevel. In other words, some of the midot that you see by Moshe and Korach, or the interchange, and even some of the terminology that's used in the Torah, is really a reliving, a mirror image of what went on between Cain and Hevel. And he left it as food for thought. He said, guys, tell me them, I'd like you to think about it. What do you think is the corollary? And I think we have to understand that the interrelationship between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lkom b'Yisrael k'moshe od Navi, but he was the greatest. Korach was coming from the same background, from the same family, the same yichus, is jealous of all of the kavod, the centrality of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how do you react to this jealousy? First, you could say something, it's not normal. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu has worked so hard, his mashkiah, so all of his koiches, with Mesirat Nefesh, and therefore to be chosen as a lead of Klal Yisrael, it's quite evident. Now, on the other hand, you have the concept of Kina Emasina, the jealousy that Korach had, and that's obvious, instead of going home and say, listen, let me work myself. Let me improve myself. Moshe Rabbeinu, with the story with Eldad and Medad, showed quite obviously that there's not one king of the mountain in Judaism. In Judaism, the rulership, the top, can be shared by many, not just by necessarily one. So Korach, if you would work hard and you would grow even further, even though you are pretty well up there, but you would work hard, perhaps you would be able to reach the same position, or maybe even oversee and be even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But instead of that, he worked Korach to undermine, to destroy the position of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is a terrible thing. One of my sons, when he went to elementary school, came home and told us the following story. He said, I think it was probably the fourth or fifth grade, and they had a Bechina Gemara, and two or three days later, it was a written Bechina, the Rebbe is handing out, at the end of class, is handing out the marked Bechinas to each Talmud. And one Talmud's jumping up in ecstatic that he received a 97 on the Bechina. Whereas which until now the guy's something was 50, some was 60, 82, 75, so on and so forth. So this Talmud was just jumping for joy. And then after a few other Bechinas were handed out, one Talmud, another one of a classmate, was given his Bechina back, and the grade was 98. 97 was broken. He was devastated. And the question is now, when 97, when he goes home, when he relates to what happened, that someone passed him, someone even got better than him, what does he do about it? Does he try and undermine, go to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, that guy didn't really deserve the 98, and you gave me a 97, look over the Bechina, don't I deserve an extra point here or an extra 2 points? Or I should simply say, I worked very hard, we're all in the 90s, we're all in the upper 90s, But there's a difference. He's better than me, and I can be as good as him. I could even be better than him if I would work harder. I'm not perfect yet. There's still room for me to improve. The question is, what does an individual do? How does he respond? Does he respond like Korach, or does not respond like Korach? And this is exactly the story that took place with Cain veHevel. Cain gives a cheap korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel gives an expensive korban. Cain's korban is not accepted. Hevel's korban is accepted. Cain feels terrible. And Rabbi Yisrael turns to Cain and says, Cain, you want your korban to be accepted? You want to be equal to Hevel? Then improve it. There's room to grow. No, Cain was overtaken by jealousy. He was devastated, and therefore he chose to kill Hevel. Comes the Zohar and says, we have to compare both of these things, Korach and Moshe, with Cain and Hevel. If someone else is doing better than you, you can understand that you as an individual can work harder, can improve, and reach perfection. And that, I think, is a message for Talmidim, and it's a message for adults. It's a message in marriage, it's a message in business, it's a message in all aspects of our life. Work, try to improve, you have the yicholet, you have the potential, and you can grow and grow and grow further. Bye.